It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, in the studio, as always, is myself, Austin Price, joined by Woody Waters. Woody, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's Friday.
Yes, it absolutely is. We're not going to dwell on this, but I am just going to tell you I'm wearing my blackout uni today because Wake plays a blackout game tonight. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. But anyway, yes, I'm very happy it's Friday, especially this week. But also, I'm happy because we get to talk about some Alabama football. And to say that they have a big game on their platter would be quite an understatement.
It would be. This is a playoff environment type game.
Yes, and, you know, I'm glad that you described it that way because we described it that way last week, and I was talking to you just before we went live last hour on the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. I was very honored to be a guest today, and we talked about some of the bigger games going around this weekend, and Alabama-LSU, of course, one of the big ones. And we've discussed this game being a playoff decider. Winner most likely will get in, loser will be left out. And I thought that was a pretty agreeable statement. I think you felt the same. But Mr. Glass just told me last hour that he's heard some jabber-jawing implying that maybe that's not the case. Maybe the loser of this game, particularly if the loser is wearing crimson, they might get in anyway. And we've got details on that, but we won't get ahead of ourselves here. Just right off the bat, we'll just look at LSU and only LSU. This game, without question, is the hardest remaining on Bama's schedule.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anytime you go to Death Valley at night, that's a tough environment to play in.
Yeah, it's arguably the toughest. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people bring up Penn State, but if Ohio State can win there in any given year, I'm not interested. I think LSU, even if they're not a great team this year, they're good, and they're an NFL factory, well-coached, esteemed head coach, Brian Kelly. To have those guys on that field, and as you said, at that time of day, that is unforgivable of an environment every time. And after this, you got Mercer, and then you go to Oklahoma, which is tough, but Oklahoma isn't, and then you got Auburn. I think most of those games should be fine. This is the only big exclamation point left. And the thing is, what makes LSU so scary is, as I said, they're not great. They've got a couple losses here, but they're not only having a better season than the rest of their remaining opponents, but I look at this at surface level, and mainly because of where the game's taking place, I don't see really many advantages in Bama's corner.
Well, there's not. Bama's going to have to make – they're going to have to make their advantages. LSU right now is the – their last place in running the football.
Really?
Yep, in statistics. And so Alabama's going to have to play well and not allow them to run the football, make them throw the football to win.
Yep.
And Nussmeier's a good quarterback. He can throw the football.
Right, and we've talked about, you know, okay, well, Alabama's coming off a bye. They're well-rested. They're zeroed in on LSU. LSU did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
LSU knows how big of a game this is. They hate the Tide. They're on a bye as well. They circled this game on their calendar. I do think one thing that Alabama has in their arsenal beyond those disadvantages we touched on earlier with the lack of advantage on bye week and the scenery, statistically, they are doing better than LSU when it comes to points allowed and points scored. They're scoring more per game than LSU. It's about a 37-35, you know, difference. It doesn't matter. But then they allow less. They allow four less points a game. So right. Alabama's looked better. The problem is, how much does that mean when it comes to the caliber of competition you're playing week in, week out?
Right. They'll be playing Alabama's will be playing better talent across the board when they play LSU. I mean, there's not as much NFL talent on this LSU roster as there normally is, but there's still plenty.
Oh, yeah. As I said, NFL factory year in, year out. And as you said, they may not produce as much after this season, but they're still going to have some names being called on draft day. Also, I mean, as I said, I talked about the difference in caliber of competition you faced, and there's not really much to pinpoint. This could help Alabama when it comes to their statistical superiority, but I look at Alabama having played Wisconsin on the road. Okay, Wisconsin's a competitive team. You played Georgia. You know, you played Missouri, even though they were banged up a bit, but CLSU, they had to go to A&M. They played Ole Miss. They played USC to start their season. Mm-hmm. Both of these guys are very battle-tested, and it does. When you consider the rivalry factor, when you consider how good these guys look on paper, this should be, win or lose, one heck of a game.
Should be. Should be a whale of a ball game, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I talk about Bama's statistical superiority, but that doesn't mean, of course, that they have no concerns in regards to their on-field execution. There are three that are going to bother me when it comes to Alabama, and we'll touch on this first one because I mentioned it last week. Bama's got an ego problem. We've seen that at times. It's not a knock on them. It's just the truth. You know, when you're throwing temper tantrums against Vanderbilt, when you're celebrating and blah, 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 you overlook opponents. You think you're better than them. You just assume you're going to win, and you don't. I told you, no knock on the Commodores, but they shouldn't be beating Bama.
No.
We have gotten to a point with those two programs. You should never see a loss like that, and I think their ego got in the way, and that's how it happened. I mentioned Paul Feinbaum by name last week. He was having his name tied to this whole thing about bringing Bama back from the dead. Stop. Stop right where you are. You were at home against a banged-up Missouri, and Missouri wasn't that great to begin with.
That's
so
true.
By the grace of God, they're still ranked today. I don't even get me started on how that's going on. but I look at this team and I'm like, okay, there's a jump from hosting a banged up Missouri to going to LSU. I'm not ready to say Bama's back yet. And no one should be less prepared to say that than Bama themselves. If they've learned anything, they need to lock in and know that every game matters from this point onward.
Oh, yeah, that has to be the mindset, the mentality of this football team. They have to strap it on and go to war play after play the entire game.
Yeah, and the ego stuff, that's just psychological. As far as actually on the field, what you're doing on the field, you got a lack of discipline. I remember watching, and I think I mentioned this sometime earlier this season on one of these shows, I remember watching Nick Saban's Bamas. They would play big games. They'd play in tough environments. And you'd get a lot of careless mistakes. You'd get false starts. You'd get offsides, whatever. You would get stuff like that. Maybe you'd get an unnecessary roughness. You got to consider that, especially with these players jawing throughout a rivalry. Bama has had a severe issue with their lack of discipline throughout this year, even in games that they've won. That is going to be a big concern. You got to be level-headed.
You do, and you got to be smart.
Yeah, and that's the type of stuff. I know that people don't like to hear it because it sounds more like a TED Talk instead of actually like hyping up a team, but it's true. You always hear about the emotional side of football. If you are smart, as you said, if you're smart, you're level-headed, you don't let these guys get to you, you treat every opponent the same. That's how you win football games. I just don't know. I don't know how else to put it. And then, of course, Bama's got turnover issues. Didn't really have them against Missouri. But again, that was Missouri. I think this LSU team is going to be hunting for that ball. I really do. I think they know that they've got to dominate control of this game with time of possession. They don't want – of course, they're going to try to stop Bama from getting anything. They're going to be gunning for you. And you cannot be in a position where you're just feeding them this rock. You can't do it. I think Jalen Milroe looked good a couple weeks ago, but that was after several weeks – of subpar ball control.
That's true. That's true. And Milroe needs to have a Super Bowl game because one of the things going back to 2 weeks ago with LSU that cost them the ball game on their end was they had no answer for the read option.
Yeah.
And Milroe can run that to perfection if he's on his game. He has to be ready to go and he has to play smart. And when it's there, he has to take it. When it's not, he needs to get it out to some receivers.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, We talked about Milroe, and I was going to go to this segment anyway, but it's like you read my mind over there, Woody. You mentioned receivers as well. Of course, we got our impact players. Typically, we talk about how these guys did after the fact, but coming off a bye, these are just names to watch. Jalen Milroe, again, very simple formula. Awareness, you got to know when to take off. So don't. We've seen Milroe in some bigger games against more physical opponents. He'll and I mentioned this with Jordan last hour when it came to Texas last year. He was less of that cool-headed quarterback who knew he had the offense in his control, and it was more of the minute I take this snap, I'm going to run for my life, and we'll just see what works. And if I got to dump it off, I will, and next thing you know, it's either incomplete or it's for 2 yards, and it doesn't mean anything. So Milroe, he's going to need to know that awareness, that balance that it takes to truly establish this is what a dual-threat quarterback does in big moments, and, of course, ball control.
Right.
You got to make wise reads. LSU's a tricky team. And you just got to hold on tight to that ball if you're going to scramble. I can't believe I have to say that to a scrambling QB. When you run, you got to hold on to the football. All right, other guys to keep track of, speaking of running, Jam Miller and Justice Haynes. Wow. I mentioned that these two were going to be pivotal against Missouri a couple weeks ago. They were just that. That's a balanced 1-2 punch. And you got to alternate through X amount of touches. I mean, this needs to be a balanced, deep running game. You are going to get gassed fast if you're playing a team like LSU. So, and you're Alabama, man. You're not one-dimensional. You don't have just one or two good players. These two need to be like the, what were their names? Reggie Bush and Lindell White, I think his name was, the other running back at USC. It needs to be that kind of system.
Yeah.
You got to have guys that you can just switch off of for certain moments.
That's true. They do. And Alabama's got several more backs they could throw in there. This young kid.
Yeah, these are just the big names.
Yeah, this young kid's he's a bruiser. He's huge. And I don't know what his average through the year is, but he can tote the rock.
Yeah, and speaking of balance, just with some of these bigger names on the offense, should need no introduction, especially with guys like Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams. Of course, you know, these two shouldn't be a problem. I mean, we talked about Haynes and Miller kind of having to step up to do more against Missouri, and they needed to be prioritized more against Missouri. Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams, we haven't had to tell them to up the touches to those guys, those guys getting looks. We haven't had to say that at all. I don't think this week's going to be any different. And honestly, it wouldn't hurt to establish a bit of a short game. You've been an advocate for the tight end, and I'm right there with you. I always respect to see a shorter game like that because you don't always have to make the big play. Just march down the field. This is a physical team. They're going to play physical ball. So give it right back. Don't be trying to be flashy and cute. Just march your way down the field, and if you have to introduce the tight ends, that's what you got to do.
Yep. You got to basically you got to take what the defense gives you.
Yeah, and I already mentioned LSU is going to try to get the ball from you. They're going to try to give it to you as little as possible. They have a superior average time of possession of around 2 or 3 minutes. If you can march down the field in an unusually steadier pace, you can really throw them off their rhythm.
Yeah.
So that's going to be huge if you can pull that off. Just a little bit past 10:15 here. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. When we return, we can touch more on this LSU-Alabama game, of course, but also there's several trending stories going on around the SEC right now, including an avenue, allegedly, where Alabama can make the playoff even if they lose. We got details on that and more coming up.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware and Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Bet live with Hard Rock Bet. Real-time wagering till the very last play. Missing the kickoff doesn't mean all bets are off.
Delay a game on the guy who hasn't bet yet.
Sometimes you just know your team is going to come back. The sportsbook for every kind of player.
Hard Rock Bet. Roll with us.
Get up to $100 back if your first bet doesn't win. Payable and bonus bet up to $100, not a cash offer. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Please call 1-888-ADMIT-IT.
The weather's cooling down, but Gulf Breeze Natural Gas is ready to warm things up when you convert to a natural gas water heater, fireplace, or outdoor fire pit. Not to mention how much better your cooking recipes will taste this fall with a natural gas cooktop. Call 850-934-5108 or visit GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com to learn more about service installation and appliance rebates. Gulf Breeze Natural Gas. Your style, your comfort, your energy.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Health and Hope Clinic provides free health care to the uninsured and the medically underserved in our community. They provide free, primary, preventative, specialty care, dental, and pharmacy assistance with the help of our 330 volunteer doctors, dentists, and nurses. If you or someone you know are looking for medical assistance, please visit healthandhopeclinic.org or call 850-479-4456. Health and Hope Clinic's mission is to provide health and hope to the hurting and underserved.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities. Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas. So how do you know which games we're carrying?
Easy.
Just follow us on Facebook /ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola, all sports, all the time.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. When we left off, we were talking about LSU, of course, very loaded game for the Tide. A lot of implications for them as well, or so we thought. I had hinted before we went to break that there were some stories kind of swirling around involving a few teams in the SEC, and of course, who better to start with than the one surrounding Alabama? I was on the Glass Half Full last hour with Jordan Glass. That's weekdays from 9 to 10, by the way, right here on ESPN Pensacola. And he mentioned something to me. Heather Dinich, I think is how you say her last name. She's in good with the playoff committee. She's an insider. Well, she said there actually is, perhaps, a path for Alabama to lose this game and ultimately make the playoffs anyway. Now, if you're keeping track at home, or rather if you're not, that means Alabama would go 9-3 with losses to the toughest teams they've played all year, except for one. They'd be 1-3 against four objectively tough teams and make the playoff anyway. And her basis for this theory is that apparently the playoff has put like 13 teams or so in the top 10 at points, I guess, late in seasons past. So, Woody, I'm just going to ask you, because I know There's no one who holds Alabama to a higher standard than Alabama fans. Do you think Bama should be in the playoff if they lose this game?
Personally, I don't. I can see there's a lot of difference between a two-loss team and a three-loss team.
There are.
In my view. You know, but I'm not going to cry if they get in with three losses. Being an Alabama fan.
I wouldn't expect you to. Maybe cry of joy.
But I certainly wouldn't want to, starting with this game, you know, put that in the back of my head and use it as a get-out-of-jail card, you know, or something like that, because I want this team to win out the rest of the year.
Well,
I want them to prove, and most Alabama fans are the same way. We want to prove that we belong.
For sure. And, you know, I loved that answer, but the best part of it was you mentioned you don't want that to kind of be what you've got holstered for an argument. And I especially feel that way when going into this game. What was I just talking about during the last segment? I said Bama's ego issues. Don't be sitting here thinking, we can lose this game and still get in. No, don't think that for a moment. While this was an interesting argument that Heather had proposed, you have to consider that, this is speculation. And Jordan, the way he put it last hour was, this may be a situation where Bama doesn't get in because they're 9-3. They get in because they're Bama.
Right.
And his point in saying that was, a 9-3 LSU probably wouldn't get in. It would more or less be the 9-3 Bama who's beaten Georgia and who has only losses to ranked teams and blah, blah, blah. That would be the argument that Bama would be riding hard on. I don't think Bama should be in at 9-3. But I don't think they will be. I look at this poll. I look at these teams that are swirling around, even with someone like Iowa State getting exposed last week. And I look at them, I think the pool's a bit too deep. We've still got an unbeaten team in BYU. We've still got teams like Kansas State and Iowa State who could stun BYU and win the Big 12. And if that's BYU's only loss, they're going to have a case.
Right.
You know, and then you've got the ACC. They've got Clemson. They've got Miami. They've got SMU. I know Clemson just had an ugly loss, but once again, if they make the ACC title game and beat the Hurricanes, and that's Miami's only loss, well, then you got two teams in there most likely.
That's true.
That doesn't even mention the Group of Five team that's going to get in. That doesn't even mention whatever Big Ten representatives could get in. I'm talking Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State. And then you've got the rest of the SEC who would deserve it more than Bama. You've got the Tennessees who beat them head-to-head. You got the conference champ, whether it's Georgia or Texas. You've got the runner-up, whether it be Georgia or Texas. Somebody like that. I don't see a realistic avenue. I understand why Heather thinks based on the playoffs precedent they could get in. But if we've learned anything as Alabama analyzers, if we've learned anything about the CFP's precedent, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Alabama getting into the playoff last year was a violation of the CFP's precedent. Leaving an unbeaten Florida State out was a violation of the CFP's precedent. So I don't want to sit here for a moment and pretend, oh, well, okay, they've had 9-3 teams in there. Surely they'll – no, that is not the solution we should be coming to, especially when you've got those ego problems I mentioned Alabama players having earlier. Other stories kind of swirling around the SEC. Well, first of all, where are my manners? You're listening to ESPN Pensacola Roll Tide Radio right here with Austin Price and Woody Waters. This is another story that's kind of swirling around because it broke yesterday. Florida, Billy Napier, he who shall not be named. He has just been informed that he will be around for another season. Florida Gators fans don't really know how to feel about that. And if they are feeling, most likely they ain't feeling good. But what do you, as an objective outsider looking in, what do you think?
I personally think that's to be fair with Billy Napier, I think that's the right move.
I think so as well. I look at two things when I say that. I look at how you've done through this unforgiving season, and I looked at the quarterback issues you recently had. Jordan said something last week that I did not agree with. He said that I think Georgia, that's going to be the straw that breaks Napier's back. I think that's going to be the game that they look at when they try to get him out. I didn't think so because I thought, you know what, Georgia's really good. I think if you compete with them, I think the fact that even if you lose to them, you're still playing for a bowl with the quarterback changes you had, and you had quarterback injuries in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Florida is just looking less and less like, oh, some joker Billy Napier. And I think it's more like this guy is getting just a really bad hand.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think he has shown improvement, or his, I should say his team
yeah.
has shown improvement.
Well, and that's the thing. I felt the way that I did with the quarterback issues, with how Florida was looking entering that Georgia game, I felt all of that before they even played Georgia. Then I see them beating Georgia at half. I see that being anyone's game at the start of the fourth. I see them suffer more quarterback issues, and Georgia has to pull away late. I look at that, and I'm like, dude, you got to give this guy a chance. If he gets a home upset over someone like an LSU or an Ole Miss, and we know he's going to beat Florida State, if you do that, you're going to be in a bowl game, in spite of everything, with a chance to finish with a winning record.
Yeah,
that is not a season where I would fire this guy.
No.
It's just not.
No.
So I'm all for him getting more time. I think this season that's upcoming does come with more of a no-nonsense thing where it's like, okay, if you have a slow start, we're not going to give you a pass. We're not going to give you a pass for the schedule because it's not going to be as tough as it was this year. We're not going to give you a pass for quarterback issues because at the end of the day, we're not just going to pretend that the team sucking is no one's fault just because, oh, well, one player gets hurt here and there. No, injuries are part of the game. We got to hold you accountable nonetheless. But this was his mulligan. This was his warning shot.
Mm-hmm.
This was just such terrible circumstances. Next year, though, we're going to treat you like anybody else.
Next year will be his fourth year, right?
Yes. I believe so.
And that's fair. After 4 years, if you really can't, you know, start hitting on all cylinders, there's probably need to look in more detail.
Right.
At things.
Because as I said, a lot of the walls that he's hiding behind right now, he can't next year. And if he thinks he can, well, as you said, that's just terrible luck for Florida. I mean, it's been terrible quarterback luck this year. You said that during the break. And I think it would just be more of that. But you can't use the, hey, man, I don't have my rabbit's foot on me. You can't use that as your defense time mm-hmm. and time again, especially at a school like Florida who plays in the SEC and they've got a standard they want to uphold.
Right.
And this is just the last very quick one. What in the world happened to Texas A&M? I think I did say last week, whether it was on here or War Eagle Weekly on Thursday, I had said last week that these are the games that's going to prove that A&M is for real because it's a trap game. It's a game that you should win, but you may not. You have to make an example out of somebody like South Carolina. And they didn't. They ended up getting ran off the field. The game was closer than the final score implied, but it doesn't change the fact South Carolina was still in a position to win by 24. So how are you feeling about A&M? You think they're still a contender in the conference just off those first impressions? I mean, Alabama struggled with South Carolina, not as bad as A&M did, but nonetheless, we know they're a scrappy team.
Well, I think I said this last week. Carolina is probably got one of the better defensive fronts.
Yeah, I think you did mention that.
In the conference. And that was shown last Saturday night. Texas A&M has got good talent.
Yeah. That's why it's so disappointing when they don't win.
And they just didn't get – they couldn't tackle. I mean, I've never seen so much arm grabbing and all this in my life. And they just didn't play sound fundamental football, which is something that's very easily corrected. But
yeah,
they've got to get reorganized and get back to playing as a unit.
Yeah, if A&M has anything they're asking for Christmas this year, because 'tis the season, it's going to be South Carolina winning out. They mm-hmm. want they need when you're in their position where you've got two losses, you've only got one conference loss though, and you're trying to make your argument. Right, we talked about the Texases and Georgias of the world earlier. Texas A&M's up here too. Mm-hmm. If they're saying, "Listen, we want to stand out, we want to be seen as, you know, someone competent," well, you got to make sure South Carolina looks phenomenal, and South Carolina does have an opportunity to continue doing so.
Well,
by going to Vandy.
And in addition, A&M's where they need to, it's perfect, really, where they need to be, because one of their last games, or maybe their last game, is Texas.
Yes, they host Texas
at home
for rivalry week.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if you win that and you finish 10-2 in the SEC, you're in. You're in. This was not a back-breaking loss for A&M. They maybe felt like their back was broken, but it wasn't. I think Texas A&M still has a shot, but I think a lot of the people who believed in them and thought, oh, it's different this time, it's hard not to lose that faith, because you've seen it. If you're an A&M fan, you've seen it for years, this whole, we've got the talent. We've got some of the best talent in America, if not the best, and we just can't win some of these games that we have no business losing. I feel like that was the case with South Carolina, but we've got an opportunity to see how some of these teams are going to look this week. I think Texas A&M may be on a bye, and they need it. But when we come back from break, we will take a deeper dive at some of these SEC teams that are trying to either keep their dominance going or get back into college football's good graces. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner. Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
WSRE PBS invites you to attend the Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration, a Foo Foo Fest event featuring New York's Sing Harlem Choir, other featured performances, and the Joyful Noise Gospel Competition among local music groups. This afternoon of inspiring song is happening at the Pensacola High School Auditorium from noon till 5 on Saturday, November 9th. Admission is free, and there'll be food trucks on site. Don't miss WSRE's Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration on Saturday.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
When you enter the world of autism, it can leave you feeling overwhelmed and alone. That's where Autism Pensacola comes in. We guide you through the maze of resources available to families affected by autism in the Gulf Coast area. We also offer programs like Kids for Camp, Sensory Street, Project Lifesaver, and opportunities for support and socializing. Call us at 850-434-7171 or visit AutismPensacola.org. We're here for you so you will never feel alone again.
The Rich Eisen Show, on weekdays after Greeny at 11 to 2 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m., and, of course, on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. As always, Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. Woody, when we left off, we were talking about just some of these headlines that are swirling around the SEC, whether it be Alabama as a three-loss team, maybe having a potential playoff path. Billy Napier sticking around for another year. I think they'd kill for a 9-3 season right now over in Gainesville. And then you've got Texas A&M. Man, really, really defecating the bed. I'll put it that way just to be PC. But, no, I got to tell you, there's a lot going on here, and there's a lot going on in the SEC slate this weekend. And it starts early with one of those teams that we just mentioned, Florida, on the road against Texas. I think, and I'll give my score prediction in a moment, but I think this is another game where Florida proves why Billy Napier is getting another shot next season.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Florida, when you look at them, or when I looked at them against Georgia last week, Florida played played their hearts out.
Yeah.
And if that quarterback had not gotten hurt, we may be talking about a different result.
Absolutely. Because three quarters in, that game was tied at 20, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people will tell you, you know how you started until you finish. That's an excuse for struggling for 3.5 quarters, okay? I don't buy that for a moment. I know it's true, but I don't believe that as many sports fans value that lesson like they claim to. That's a cop-out. Georgia's underachieved, and they underachieved last week. And I do. I think Florida is better than we thought they were going to be entering this season. You're asking them to beat Florida State and get a home upset, and they'll be bowl eligible. I don't think they win this weekend, though. But Texas is favored by 22.5. I don't think they cover that. Texas has struggled with some of the athleticism that's come into the SEC, whether it was in their conference opener against Mississippi State, against Vanderbilt. They got beat up at home by Georgia. I just look at Texas, and I'm a little bit concerned. So I think they'll be at home against a Florida team that's really struggling, especially with their quarterback issues. They will struggle at first, but they'll pull away. I got to be like a 35-17-ish.
Yeah, if I was a betting guy, I'd jump all over that spread.
Yeah,
I can cheer you. Yeah. I don't think Texas is going to win by 22 points.
No, that's not happening. Number three, Georgia. Let's see if you were a betting man. Let's see how you'd touch this one. Number three, Georgia goes to number 16, Ole Miss. This is supposed to be one of the biggest games of the year, and it's definitely one of the biggest games when it comes to defining these two teams' seasons and their playoff paths. Ole Miss at home. If they lose, they will have three losses to their name, and right now the playoff committee has them at 16, so they're already not looking at them as a playoff-caliber team right now. Mm-hmm. So Ole Miss, this is make or break, and this is to prove, you know what, dead gummit, we can compete in the Southeastern Conference. Do you think they proved that against Georgia? Georgia's favored by 2.5 on the road.
this could be very well be a shootout.
Really?
Yeah.
The over-under is 55.5.
Yeah, it may go more. Lane Kiffin is going to pull every stop or every play, I should say, out of his pocket on this one.
Yeah.
And I think, knowing Kirby, Kirby's going to have it figured out. And Georgia, I think, is going to win the football game. But, man, I don't know.
I think Georgia wins as well. It's going to be a competitive game. But I think Georgia's kind of shown, and they showed it at Texas earlier this year. You know what? We're going to struggle with everybody. But when you put us in a big game, we're going to show up. We've seen Alabama do that. Mm-hmm. Alabama, last year, struggled with USF, struggled with Arkansas, who won like four games, struggled with Auburn just a week after Auburn got killed by New Mexico State. Did they do? They beat Georgia in the SEC title game and took Michigan to OT.
For the last two or three seasons of Nick Saban's career, his teams always, more than they used to, would play down to the talent.
For years we heard that.
Yeah, they would. And a little bit. We've seen a little bit of that this year, I think, in what Alabama has shown. But they've got to get past that mentality.
Right. And I think you're absolutely right about the need to kind of change it up, because once again, you've got very heavy implications this week. Georgia, I think they look at this game against Ole Miss, and I think they feel the same. Sure, they've only got one loss, and they've got that road win over Texas, but a loss here would be detrimental as far as their place in the rankings,
right,
and as far as their status in the SEC. But I don't know. I look at Georgia, and I see a lot of Alabama. I see a lot of the struggles, but then we got those Texas games, you know, mm-hmm. out and about, and it's like, okay, well, Georgia maybe is just kind of, as you said, maybe playing down, or maybe they're just – they know how to show up for the big games. I don't think Ole Miss does. I think they're the SEC's Penn State. If I've said that once, I've said it a million times, because we learned last week Penn State can't show up for the big ones. I look at Georgia, and I think their struggles against Florida were part of a rivalry game. Florida's better than we thought, and Georgia may have been even looking ahead. They've circled this game. They knew in the preseason it was going to be a big one. They're going to go in there and try to make an example out of Ole Miss. It'll be a good game, but I got them winning, what, 27-20?
Yeah, but Georgia can't go to Ole Miss and play anywhere close to how they started off in Tuscaloosa against Alabama.
Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, if they do, they're going to get buried.
Yeah, because Ole Miss is a high-powered offense. They've looked splotchy at times, but yeah, for whatever reason, and I hate to bring this up for multiple reasons, but I look at – I've watched Ole Miss play because they played my Demon Deacons, and we were the toughest team on their schedule up until that point, and that, which tells you how weak their out-of-conference schedule was. But they did. They tried to run up the score early, tried to put it in the dirt early. You think they're not going to try to do the same with Georgia in Oxford? I mean, oh, no, you're absolutely right. If Georgia whiffs early in this game, Ole Miss is going to do whatever they can to capitalize. So Georgia needs to come out swinging from start to finish. All right, then we got South Carolina at Vanderbilt. I can't believe I'm saying this, but this just might be game of the year. South Carolina's 5-3 playing for a bowl game. Vanderbilt with a win at Auburn, I'm sure that makes you smile. In spite of this, in spite of how good Vandy's been looking, in spite of them going bowling, and in spite of them being in Nashville, South Carolina with a 5.5-point spread. Do you buy that?
I don't know. I think Vandy is going to be ready to play. In other words, I don't think the Auburn win was that great of a win to Vandy. I mean, it was a win.
It was huge for them historically.
Right.
But, yeah, when it comes to how those teams have looked this season, no, it wasn't a testament.
And Beamer's going to have a hard challenge this week of having his kids ready to play mentally. I mean, you know, kids being kids, that was a super win for them last week. And depends on how quick they got that out of their heads.
Yeah, if you are kind of hung up on that game, this is a hangover game for you. Vandy at home. I firmly believe that this is a moment that can come back to bite the Gamecocks. I will say I got Vandy winning, but it's not as much because I think they're going to be hungover, though that could happen. I think it's also just going to be because Vandy is at home. Because I honestly think it's one of those games where it comes down to, if this were in Williams-Brice Stadium, I'd maybe take the Commodores right to lose. All right, here's one. We'll just crank this one out real quick. Mississippi State goes to Tennessee. Tennessee 7-1, number 7 in the country. Mississippi State 2-7. Their two wins are over Eastern Kentucky and UMass. They are yet to get an SEC or Power 4 win, for that matter, all year. Does Tennessee keep their high ranking and big winning going?
I think Tennessee wins the ball game, but this one is interesting because of the two coaches. They both coached together in the past, and they both know each other. So it's going to be interesting to watch some of the play calling and things that's going to go on in that game. Plus, Mississippi State's quarterback is improving game by game tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, Mississippi State is one of those teams where – They do play teams tough. They didn't play Arkansas too tough. I think that was the last SEC game they played. They didn't look hot in that one, but they gave A&M a scare. They gave Bama a scare. Texas came off to a slow start against them. So who knows? Maybe I'm sleeping on Mississippi State a bit. I don't think I am. Do you think Tennessee covers that 24.5-point spread? I think they do.
I may. I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't.
I think Mississippi State is just, for some of those bigger games throughout the year, they gave it their all and it just wasn't there. Congrats on beating UMass, I guess, but you're just not that good of a team. I think that's become increasingly evident. I think Tennessee's going to try to prove that, you know what, we're not going to be one of those teams that trips over the Mississippi State Bulldog. We're not going to do that. We're going to keep rolling. We're going to plow through this team. That's what the Vols are going to do. I'll take them in Knoxville to cover that 24.5-point spread. Okay, and then we got Oklahoma at Missouri. Wow. I've really lost faith in these two teams. Oklahoma has a winning record, but they beat Maine to get it, so I really don't give a hoot. They're 5-4 overall, 1-4 in the SEC. That's the record I care about. They go on the road to face Big 12 rival from back in the day, Mizzou. Missouri, as I said, they're still, for whatever reason, ranked. Two toughest teams they've played have ran them off the field. Do you think Missouri wins? I find this interesting. They've got a better record. They are ranked, and they are at home. Oklahoma's favored on the road by 2.5. You buy that?
Yeah. I don't think Missouri's a very good football team.
I don't think so either. But you think they're Oklahoma bad?
I don't. Well, here's the deal. I don't think Brady Cook is well still. Ooh. I think that's his name, isn't it?
Brady Cook, yeah.
I don't think he's well, and I don't know really to what degree he's going to play in this ball game. Oklahoma, if they have a strong suit, it's probably on their defensive side.
Oh, absolutely.
But they have been shown signs of playing a little bit better on the offensive side of late. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, the bookies may have it right at 2.5.
Maybe. I think Missouri wins. I think it's a kind of a low-scoring game. If this game were in Norman, especially with Mizzou's injury issues recently, I'd maybe take the Sooners. But being on the road, this is another one where I just got to go with the home team, home crowd. Because Mizzou has a pretty underrated home environment, I'd say. So I'll take Missouri to win. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be lower scoring. The over-under is 41.5, so they don't have it being some huge shootout. So I'll take Missouri there. 10:50, you're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show on ESPN Pensacola every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. When we return, we'll look at some of these bigger games that are swirling around the country. It's another week where there's not a ton of ranked-on-ranked action, but there's all the more room for upsets. We saw multiple last week, should see some this week. And, of course, we will finish off this program with our predictions for Alabama, LSU. All that and more coming up right here on the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green and tea!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Attention Pensacola. Get ready for a night of high-flying action, both on and off the ice. Join the Pensacola Ice Flyers on Saturday, November 9th for Blue Angels Night, sponsored by Publix. Don't miss this electrifying event featuring special Blue Angels-themed jerseys and plenty of action. Tickets are going fast. Head to iceflyers.com to get your tickets today.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMen'sHealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Boat lovers, the Marine Max Pensacola Boat and Yacht Show has been rescheduled for Saturday, November 23rd from 10 till 4. Marine Max will be showcasing the best brands in boating with exclusive boat show pricing and special incentives only at this event. Fuel your day with delicious chef-curated eats, complimentary beverages, local vendors, and live raffles from noon till 1. Mark your calendars. Don't miss the Marine Max Pensacola Boat and Yacht Show, Saturday, November 23rd. Marine Max, 1901 Cypress Street, Pensacola.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you we could help you reach your audience while they're at a sporting event? Let ADX Digital help you connect to your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with us today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Hurricane season is here, and when the next storm approaches, you'll want to tune into our sister station, News Radio Pensacola, your source for the most up-to-date and accurate hurricane and severe weather coverage. News Radio Pensacola will have wall-to-wall coverage of the storm, tracking its path, reporting on evacuations, power outages, and any damage to our community. They'll have the latest forecasts, emergency instructions, and updates on recovery efforts. Stay informed with News Radio Pensacola's comprehensive hurricane coverage, now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, online at newsradio923.com, or on their mobile.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you as per usual. Woody, when we left off, we were talking about some of the biggest games swirling around the SEC. And the SEC does have the two biggest games, Georgia at Ole Miss and, of course, Bama at LSU. We will get our score predictions on that at the end of the segment here, but we got a few minutes to work with first. So I want to look at some of these upset alerts swirling around college football, starting with tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., number 4 Miami travels to 5-4 Georgia Tech. Miami, especially on the defensive side, they've been limping to the finish line on multiple occasions. Do you think Georgia Tech has a shot here in Atlanta?
Well, anything's possible. So, yeah, they would maybe have a shot, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. Miami favored by double digits, but only 11. I've got them winning probably by around that much. They pull away late, similarly to how they did against Duke. And it's going to be another game where it's like, okay, good win, Miami. Nobody gives a crap. All right, number 17, Iowa State goes to Kansas. I got a puzzled reaction from you during break when I told you this. Iowa State 7-1, number 17 in the country. They are facing Kansas, who's 2-6, and the Cyclones are only favored by 3 points. So that kind of tells you how little people believe in the Cyclones. Do you believe in the Cyclones? Do you think they win big here?
No.
Really? Do you think they lose?
No, I think they'll win. Maybe.
But they struggle?
Yeah.
I agree. Kansas is they have one of the better coaches in the country. I love Lance Leopold. I think he's phenomenal. They're having a terrible year, very disappointing one. But on the road, after a deflating loss like what Iowa State had to Texas Tech last week, I do think this is a struggle win. I think they win maybe by 6 or 7 points. Then we've got number 23, Clemson. Speaking of deflating losses, they got beat up in Death Valley by Louisville. They are now barely ranked, 23rd. They go to VaTech. Lane Stadium's a tough place to play. If VaTech wins, they go bowling, so they've got a pretty boosted incentive here. Do you think Clemson gets kicked while they're down? They're favored by 6.5 on the road.
That could be a really good football game to watch. Virginia Tech is kind of – they're in a situation where this is kind of a must-win game for them. And it's a must-win game for Clemson.
Oh, absolutely.
Clemson laid an egg, had two block kicks or something like that.
They got beat up in that game.
Yeah, they got beat up. And so, that's two teams that – it's they're in a serious mode to win on each one of them.
Yeah, I think Clemson wins, but I think they win close. Once again, probably by around a touchdown. Number 20, Colorado. They're 6-2. They travel to 6-3 Texas Tech. Texas Tech just knocked off Iowa State, but Colorado is a 4-point road favorite. Do you agree?
I don't know. They going to Texas Tech?
Yes.
That place is a hard place to play football.
It is.
I mean, really hard. I'm going to go with Texas Tech.
I think I am, too. I think I'm going to take the Red Raiders to get the win there. Because, as you said, Lubbock, that's a brutal place. And Texas Tech is a good team. They just had a few down games. And then we've got this one late at night, 9:15 p.m. Number 9, BYU. They're unbeaten. They go to 4-4 Utah. Utah's well-coached, but they've been underperforming. But this is one of the most hate-filled rivalries in college football. A lot of history to it. BYU, a 3-point favorite on the road. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now I have Utah winning this game.
I was just fixing to say, if I got to go with one, I'm going Utah.
At home is just – that's tough. And Utah is a well-built team.
Yeah.
They are just down on their luck. So I think Utah will beat BYU probably by around a field goal, which is how much BYU is favored by. All right, game of the hour. Number 11, Alabama at number 15, LSU. Woody, you told me during the break, you've got this being a close game. I've got it being equally close. But we've got different winners. Who do you pick and by how much?
I got Bama 31-24.
And I've got LSU 31-23. That's in line with the over-under. It's about 58.5. Obviously, we've got both of our predicted victors winning by more than 2.5. But, you know, when you're talking about splitting hairs like that, that's kind of expected. But, yeah, I see this game boiling down to – once again, what we talked about to start the game, the show this morning, Death yep. Valley in the evening.
Yep,
that's tough. But we'll see. Either way, especially with how equal yet contrasting our predictions are, we're gonna have a lot to talk about next week. You've been listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola.